Here we go. You're listening to Law & Gospel on this Monday, July the 29th in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and as is our custom on Mondays, we like to take a look at the readings for the following Sunday, which is Proverbs 13, August the 4th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. We're going to start off with John 6, beginning with verse 22. This is Jesus going from Galilee to Jerusalem. And it just so happens that scholars believe this occurred in A.D. 29, the year 29, which is the same as today's date, the 29th. Of course, this occurred in October. Now, prior to leaving Galilee for Jerusalem, the disciples were in arguments about what Jesus was teaching. So he says in chapter 6, verse 62, "What if you see the Son of Man go up before he was? The Spirit makes alive, the flesh doesn't help. The words I spoke to you are spirit, and they are life." Now, Jesus is referring to his ascension into heaven, asking the disciples, "Would this upset you if you see the Son of Man go up where he was before? The words I spoke to you are spirit, and they are life. But some of you don't believe." Now, this is verse 64. Jesus knew from the beginning who wouldn't believe and who would betray him. So he added, "This is why I told you, a person can come to me only if the Father gives him the power." Boy, if that isn't a tremendous passage in the Bible. You cannot believe in the Lord Jesus Christ unless God gives you the power to believe. Belief is not something you decide on your own. It is not part of your free will. It is such a shame where you hear on other radio stations, "If only you would say this prayer, inviting Jesus into your life, then you would be saved." There is no such Bible verse. You cannot save yourself. You are saved only if the Father gives you the power to believe. Now, verse 66, "As a result, many of his disciples went back to their old life and wouldn't go with him anymore." Boy, what a shame that they had seen Jesus feed 5,000 people recently, and yet, because they did not believe that the Father alone gives them the power to believe, they returned to their old sinful life, the old man, and wouldn't go with him anymore. So Jesus turned to the 12. Do you want to leave me too? Peter answered him. And this is such an important answer. It's part of our liturgy. Lord, to whom should we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have come to believe and know you are God's Holy One. Wow. Is that a tremendous sense of faith that Jesus is God's Holy One? Jesus asked, this is verse 70 of John chapter 6, did I not choose the 12 of you? And one of you is a devil. Verse 71 explains what he means. He meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. He is the one who is going to betray Jesus. He was one of the 12. It's at this time that Jesus is going around in Galilee preaching his message. He didn't want to travel in Judea because the Jews were trying to kill him. But the Jewish festival of booths was near. So his brothers told Jesus, leave this place, go to Judea, and there let your disciples see the works you're doing. No one goes on doing things secretly when he wants to be known publicly. If you do these things, let the world see you. But not even his brothers believed in him. And we're talking about the family of Jesus. Remember, they tried to stop him from speaking his message. And he said, who are my mother and brothers and sisters, those of you who gather around, sitting down, listening to me? So, Jesus is ready to go to Jerusalem. It isn't the right time for me yet, Jesus told them. But any time is right for you. What's he talking about? Well, Jesus is only going to Jerusalem to die on the cross, be raised from the dead, when the Father wants him to. He is holding back from going too early. He says, is it right for me to go yet? No. But any time is right for you. The world can't hate you, but it hates me because I tell the truth about it, that it is doing wrong. Remember, that's why many people had hated his predecessor. who was beheaded by Herod, because he said that Herod's marriage to Herodias was wrong. He was beheaded for that at the insistence of his wife. If you do these things, you will not believe in me, he says. The world can't hate you, but it hates me because I tell the truth about it, that it is doing wrong. That's why the world hated John the Baptizer, because he kept speaking the law, indicating how they were sinning against Almighty God. He said to the disciples, "You go up to the festival. I'm not going up to this festival right now, because it is not the right time for me yet." After telling them this, he did stay in Galilee. But after his brothers had gone up to the festival, he went also, not publicly, but without being seen. Jesus joined them. Remember, he promised them that he too would be going up to Jerusalem to die for the sins of the world. And when the disciples opposed him for doing that, especially Peter, he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan," because Peter was standing in the way of what God the Father wanted. So, the Jews were looking for Jesus in the crowd at the festival. "Where is he?" they kept asking. And there was much whispering about him in the crowds. Some said, "He is a good man." But others said, "No, he deceives the people." Yet no one would talk about him in public, because everyone was afraid of the Jews. In other words, they would not say publicly in front of the Jewish leaders that Jesus was a good man, because the Jewish leaders had promised to remove them from the synagogue, as they did with the man born blind, who then was able to see at the miracle of Jesus. Verse 14 of John chapter 7. But when the festival was already half over, Jesus went up to the temple and started to teach. The Jews were surprised. "How can he know so much," they asked, "when he hasn't been in the schools?" They had no track record of Jesus being in the Jewish schools. But privately, Jesus had been reading the Old Testament. He knew more than those who had gone to the schools, because when he read the Bible, it was open to him in a way that still remained closed to many of the Jews. what I teach you, Jesus said, does not come from me, but from him who sent me. Who's he talking about? He's talking about God the Father. If anyone, Jesus says, wants to do his will, he'll know whether my teaching is from God or I speak my own thoughts. No, those who have been inspired by the Holy Spirit to know the Holy Spirit, to know that their sins are forgiven, and to know that heaven is their home, know that Jesus is speaking the words of his Father. Anyone speaks his own thoughts, tries to glorify himself, Jesus says. But he who wants to glorify the one who sent him tells the truth, and there is nothing wrong with what he says. Jesus concludes this section of John 7. Moses gives you the law, yet none of you does what the law tells you. Why do you want to kill me? The crowd answered, there's a demon in you. Who wants to kill you? I did one thing, Jesus answered them, and you're all surprised about it. Moses gave you circumcision. Not that it came from Moses, but from our ancestors. And you circumcise a person on a Sabbath. If a child is circumcised on a day of rest to keep the law of Moses, are you angry with me because I made all of a man well on a Sabbath? That's what Jesus did with the man born blind. Don't judge by what you see, but be fair when you judge. Then some of the men from Jerusalem said, isn't he the man they want to kill? But here he speaks in public, and his enemies don't say a thing to him. Surely the rulers haven't found out he's a Christ, have they? Now we know where this one comes from. But when the Christ comes, no one knows where he's from. Jesus answered, you know me. He called aloud as he was teaching in the temple. And you know where I come from. I didn't by myself decide to come, but there's one who is true, who sent me. You don't know him, but I know him because I come from him and he sent me. Then the unbelieving Jews tried to arrest him, but no one was able to lay a hand on him because the right time had not yet come for him. But many in the crowd believed in him. When the Christ comes, they ask, will he do more miracles than this one has done? So they were believers in what Jesus had done. That's the reading from Mark 6. But we also have the reading from Psalm 136. No, Psalm 145 is also set up for this Sunday, beginning with verse 10. It begins, everything you made praises you, O Lord, and your devoted ones bless you. There's nothing that God has not made that does not praise him. I mean, how many people in the daytime get up early to see the sunrise? Or at nighttime to see the sunset, or to go out and see the snow falling. Now, in English, we have one word for snow, but in other languages, there are 10 words talking about a blanket of snow, the snow that hits the ground, the snow that melts and turns into water. Verse 11, they talk of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power. They teach the world his mighty acts and the wonderful glory of his kingdom. This is an Old Testament reading from Psalm 145. And yet it is talking about the great acts of Jesus, his mighty act of dying on the cross for the purpose of paying for our sins and making sure that our sins are forgiven. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. That's taught in the Old Testament in Psalm 145. To be an everlasting kingdom means that Jesus will rule through all generations. The Lord holds up all who are falling and raises all who are bowed down. Yes, we fall often into sin, but the Lord holds us up. And he also raises us who bow down in humility before his holy face. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the right time. You open your hand to satisfy every living thing with what it desires. A living thing desires what God so wants us to desire. That is eternal life, sins forgiven, and the glory of God being with us at all times. That's the message of Christianity. The Lord, this is verse 17, is just in all his ways. and kind in everything he does. The Lord is near all who call him, all who call him sincerely. That is because of the faith that they have been given to trust in the promises of Jesus Christ. And therefore they trust in him sincerely. He does what those who fear him desire. He hears their call for help, and he saves them. That's the promises found in the Old Testament, Psalm 145. The Lord protects all who love him, but destroys all the wicked. That's his promise. And therefore, the chapter 145 ends. My mouth will praise the Lord, and all people will praise his holy name forever and ever. That is the absolute teaching of the Christian faith, which we will summarize tomorrow in the hymn for this coming Sunday. God bless you.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.